Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, your weekly video game podcast about that gaming life. What's going on, people? Today we are very lucky to be graced with a returning guest in the absence of our normal co-host Isaac, who is traveling. Godspeed to you, sir. Have a great time. But I'd like to welcome back to the show the other Isaac. What's up?
Oh, hello. It's good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. How is life in the land of destiny, sir?
Oh, it is actually really slow right now. The season is ending on Tuesday and a new season is starting. And as every end of season goes, Destiny players are all over Twitter complaining about it.
Look, if it's one thing you can count on, if you have a very successful online multiplayer game, there'll be a lot of complaints.
Oh, yeah.
So I totally understand. Believe me, there's in Apex that I play quite frequently, Seer is like super hated and everybody's like, will you please like nerf this dude? But you know how things go. Today we have a nice jam-packed show for everyone. We're going to be covering, as always, what we've been playing, maybe some pickups. We're going to cover some Halo news, some Blizzard news, and some RPG sales news. Also, we're going to be going over our estimates to the best of our ability, the Game Pass Award winners in the categories that we're going to cover. So looking forward to having a great show. But as we always start off, Other Isaac, what have you been playing?
So as I always say, I've been playing some Destiny, but unlike normally, I've actually played some other games. So the multiplayer for the campaign of Halo Infinite recently came out. I started playing that with a good friend of mine. I actually just downloaded Plague Tale because I realized it was on Game Pass and started playing that. And then a little bit of Persona and a couple other games here and there.
That's what's up. Game Pass for the win, bro. I'm telling you. You know, people get caught up in their console wars and how many games released, first party, second party, third party, all that stuff. Look, Game Pass to me, man, it's the gift that keeps on giving, man.
It really is.
I was looking at what's coming out here soon, and as you know, Star Wars, the Skywalker saga is coming. That's huge. Eastward's coming. That's like a big one. And then there's another JRPG as well coming, Chained Echoes. So I was just like, man. And Metal Hellsinger's coming to the old Xbox, which, I actually roll credits on that game. So it's Game Pass, man. Like I said, love it or hate it, I get it. Everybody's, getting their own debates or whatever. But that service to me is the truth. You know, it actually made me sad. I checked all over Black Friday, and normally I can get me a year Game Pass for under $100. This year, I wasn't able to do it. I'll keep my eye out, but it was only like $5 off the 3-month cards. And I was like, no.
Wow. I mean, Microsoft knows what they have, and they definitely don't want to let it go cheap. Look, that's for sure.
They're on me, bro. They're on my game. So I couldn't do nothing. But I was like, well, I guess I'll have to get some, I'll get one each quarter. One each month as the year opens up. Because I was like, man, those were not the droids I was looking for. But me, as always, playing Apex. I actually have to put a clip out there on my Twitter at times, Pat. I've been playing a lot more Vantage as well. I've been playing a bunch of different Legends just to mess around. But recently I was playing some Vantage and just having a really good time with it. And as always, teamwork makes the dream work in Apex, which is why I thoroughly enjoy it, as well as the tactical gameplay. Also playing some more Persona 5 Royal. Man, that game's good. Game's good, man. So that's just all I can say. You're like, some games inundate you with like fetch quests or whatever. Persona is like thing that gets me is like you deciding what to do, bro, because yes, there's so much to do.
I'm on my third attempt to play through Persona, and the first two times were just the standard edition on PlayStation, and it was my first time playing any game like that, and I could not figure out what I was supposed to do, what the most optimal way to play was. And I think it's to its credit, there's many ways to play through it, and it mm-hmm. really gives it a varied feeling that makes you want to come back and play more times.
Well, like all great JRPGs, in my humble opinion, it has a new game plus. So Isaac told me about it, so I was like, oh, well, that's awesome. So I was like, okay, so I can play it in maybe not the most optimal way, and then play it again and retain my stats. That's always
a lot of hours when the first playthrough is over 100.
Well, so funny, so Chrono Trigger has a new game plus. You know, I'm always going to get that in wherever I can. Mm-hmm. But Trails of Cold Steel I played one and I played one again. Two has new game plus, but I haven't queued it up for a second run. But my first run in Trails 1 and Trails 2 were 105 hours each.
Oh my goodness.
But the second runs, believe it or not, were 40 hours or less. Like I think one was 35, one was 40. My first one, my second one was 38, I think, in Trails 1. I haven't done it in 2, but I heard you can do it like less than 40.
Okay. Is that just from being powered up from the
first you're powered up. There's like no fluff. I don't even think I skipped the cutscenes, but you're definitely powered up.
Okay.
And so that takes a lot of that out of it. You are doing your, there's like these events you can do to get close to people, but you're doing the other half of the ones you didn't do. So because you can't, until you like select this option, you can't do all of them, but you could just spend time with everybody. You have to like spend your points and you only get like 2 points and normally it's like 4 options kind of thing.
I see.
So you do the other half of those. And then, yeah, but it wasn't long. Chrono Trigger, you can just wreck shop on New Game Plus. Like, you are God tier. It's great. It's the complete opposite of a FromSoft game.
I do love just the concept of a New Game Plus in general, especially in RPGs and JRPGs, because they give you all these overpowered weapons at the end of the game where there's nothing to use them on.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And then you have, like, the optimal builds for your characters, too. Like, there's one character in Trails called Fee. And she can like she has this ability where her attack will like delay the other enemy attack. And it's one of the coolest turn-based systems I've ever seen, because instead of a charge bar of some sort or something, or your go then my go, there's this turn order that's on the left side of the screen in terms of like face icons.
Okay.
And so you can see when the enemy's gonna get to attack next. So if you do like her attack that delays them, it'll drop down in that turn order.
Okay. Kind of like in Final Fantasy X, I believe.
It's been a while. I'd have to look. It's been a while since I played.
No worries.
I'd have to look. But yeah, but I, like to me, it just jumped out to me. I was like, that's really cool. So I know I've delayed them because they've fallen down in the order. Also, if you try to cast powerful magic, it'll take you longer in that chain on the left to see when you're going to actually execute the spell. So that's really cool too, because you select it and then you'll see like, okay, if I run this spell, this is when it'll kick off at this point in the turn order.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really, I'll tell you, man, it's really good. So I was like, okay. And Trails 3 is probably, I know I have God of War as well, so I'm like, I'm debating on playing Trails 3 next, but to your point, right, coming off Persona, that'll be, what's that, anywhere from 80 to like 150 or something like that, Persona 5 Royal. So
I want to say when I looked it up, the average playthrough was about 100 hours.
Yeah, so I'm like, do I want to play another 100 hours before jumping into God of War? I don't know. We'll see.
I'm a big fan of knocking out the quick one first and then sinking my teeth into the longer one.
The quick one. Take the 60-hour one.
Yeah, just the only 60 hours. Not that bad.
I know, right? So we'll see. But no, but at Persona 5, so far I've been really enjoying it. Trying to understand like what's going on with Igor, as well as talking to Say. You know how the game starts, then Say comes in. And I'm like, okay, like where is that in the timeline versus whatever? Mm-hmm. But game's still great, man. I'm just glad I'm finally playing it, and I'm also glad I'm playing it on the preferred platform of my choice. So looking forward to rolling credits on that at some point. And then probably just playing a new game plus and just acting totally stupid, because I like to do that. Do you have any pickups that you'd like to talk about?
Pickups? Actually, no. Because of Game Pass, I haven't really had to pick anything up.
Oh, shucks. The internet's going to be upset. Oh, man.
No. I know. And, as a point, I have a full like shelf of PlayStation 5 exclusive steelbooks behind me. I love picking up new games. There's just not any games that have really interested me yet, as I don't have a PS5 yet. So once I get one, I'll be picking up God of War and Callisto Protocol and all those games.
Look, I totally understand. Like I said, no, I gotta mess around, because I've just seen when you fall into the wrong crowds on Twitter, it gets real interesting if you say Game Pass is good. Or I actually was so happy with the games Game Pass had on it. Oh, shucks. No, that's what's up. So I got one of my Christmas gifts earlier from a family member, and I got the 8-bit dough ultimate controller for Switch, which has hall sensors in it for the thumbsticks. Yes. Thank you. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is S tier right here.
Well, that's a super rad early Christmas present.
Yes, I will be setting that up probably soon after the show today, because I haven't had time before then. But I was just like, thank you, I finally have pulse sensing, thumbsticks, and a controller. Xbox, if you can just do that in the next Elite, I would be very happy.
Well, you know can you can pick the colors on the Elite now. It's got yeah,
that is, something. That is that's cool. I just need thumbsticks to last 100 years or something. Also, I've had a few games come in and a few pickups. I got a game called Soulstice for the Xbox Series X physically because it went on sale the other day at Amazon. It looked to be a very interesting game. I think it's action slasher, it looks like. But the art style looked really cool. That's what grabbed me. I'll be honest. I didn't watch, you know, every bit of gameplay, but the art style is just so intriguing to me. Also, as usual, you know, I'm trying to keep my JRPG Switch collection going, you know, keeping and my JRPG Shmup collection going and all that, and my Shmup collection going on Switch, as well as PS4 when I can. You know, I love that genre, so they're always coming in, as I like to say. But there was this game called The Caligula Effect 2. I was watching a review and somebody was like, "Yo, you have to get this game." So I got that for Switch and PS4. As well as Crystar, which is a NES game. Okay. I did watch some gameplay on that. I got that for the Switch. And it's funny, I went back to a old shop we frequent, you worked at, you know, one of my retro stores in my area. And the game sat there. This is no exaggeration. The game sat there for, I think, 7 months. And I went back to buy it, like, last week or the week prior, because, you know, I like the little guy. And it was gone. So I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the employees, shout out to Don, and I was like, "Yo, man, y'all had this game?" And he was like, "No, I don't think we had it." And I was like, "No, you did. It was on the top shelf and it sat there. It was there for like forever, and I wanted to get it." And he was like, "Oh, it looks like we sold it in October." I was like, "I said, of course we're not looking to sell it. It's been there for, it was there from like March to October."
Oh no.
I was like, "I do have one, but I really wanted to get it from them, right?" So I was just like, "How did I miss that?" So. Yeah, it's just crazy sometimes when you're going through your stuff. I'll try to get a small picture up at times, Pat, on Twitter, like I said, of some of the more recent stuff that's come in. But yeah, and just for everybody listening, PlayAsia is releasing a River City Girls 1 and 2 game on the same disc, and it's cheaper than the limited run River City Girls 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, you'll probably get it faster, too.
So, oh yeah, I already ordered mine. You know. I'm not gonna lie, like I definitely ordered mine. So, just wanted to throw that out there for people. Hopefully, mine will be here next week or so. Because I'm like, yo, thank you. And of course, I got it on every platform because I'm that dude. Yeah. So, you know, just check that out if you're interested in those. But you know, in the meantime, we'll go ahead and move on to our news. And it's unfortunate news: the multiplayer creative director Tom French. Is moving on from Halo after 11 and a half years. He is leaving 343. And this news just kind of jumped out of me. I was really sad to kind of see that. I know there's going to be different responses around. What were your thoughts?
So I think it's always sad to see someone who's worked on the franchise for so long leave. Being after 11 and a half years on Halo. So what is that? Right around the time it switched over from Bungie to 343.
I think it's close. Yeah. I think
clearly there's a love for the game there. No one's going to work through all of the difficulties that have been 343 handling Halo, and stick around unless they truly care about the game. So, I hope he finds something that he enjoys working on as much as he liked working on Halo. And I'm interested to see who's going to step in to fill those shoes, because there's a big role to fill.
No, well said. I mean, first and foremost, if he had anything to do with you know, Halo 5's multiplayer, that was highly regarded, even though the main story was not. So, you know, kudos to that. Thank you for the memories, as they say. I know a lot of friends who are deep into Halo, and they love that franchise. So, you know, I always like to show appreciation to the people behind the scenes, because for a long time in my life, and I would assume to many people, they're just names on a box, really, or names in the credits. Like, they don't really associate them to real people.
Oh, no. So
yeah,
game devs aren't people. That's why you can say whatever you want on Twitter, right?
Yes. But But yeah, that's the first thing I want to do is say thanks. And just like you said, clearly he has a love for the IP. So it must, I would assume it was a tough choice, but I totally understand. I just hope in his next step that he, you know, finds something that he can be equally passionate about, and he brings great memories. If it's a consumer product or a fan base based product, that he brings great memories to the fans of whatever he goes to next. But yeah, and it just makes me wonder more. The next thing is, it makes me wonder more about 343 and Halo. Like, that has been kind of a bumpy ride.
I feel like that's putting it lightly. Yeah.
Like, it's really interesting. So I'm wondering, is it gonna turn around to where we're no longer like, oh yeah, man, it's, you know, or if this is gonna cement the fact where it's like, yo, man, got some issues over there. So I'll keep my eye out on that. But hopefully they can.
It's hard write to the imagine shit. Halo as an IP not existing in some capacity, even with, you know, poor launches and poor response to some of the games. It's so enfranchised in people's minds that, I mean, we've seen Halo Wars, another spin-off game. So, you know, maybe the future of Halo isn't an FPS, which would be kind of funny. But I think it's clear that the franchise is here to stay regardless of how the games perform.
Yeah, that's so well said. I honestly, I mean, when you've got Easter eggs on your hardware, on the chipboards.
Right.
I find it hard to believe they just go, yeah, that franchise, just let it go. But I definitely think they'll, at worst case, and I use that phrasing lightly in this sense, but at worst case, they'll spin it off into other things. And also, I do really think Halo is right for a battle royale. I think it kind of fits. So that'll be interesting if they bring it. I'm not saying that's the revival the franchise needs either. I'm just saying clearly they're going to try to do more with that franchise. So yeah, just crazy news. But again, I just wish Tom the best and all he does.
Absolutely.
A second piece of news that jumped out to me as I was saucing and looking through the news is Blizzard Albany becomes the second unionized studio at Activision Blizzard. The news comes from Polygon.com. And it says QA workers at Diablo Studio win union election 14-0. And I was like, wow, that's kind of shocking. I know a lot of people have brought up unions in the gaming industry and potentially a need for them. I like Jason Schreier, the co-host, my normal co-host Isaac, he said some things about it. So I just find this interesting that did this strike you in any way, or like, what were your thoughts here?
So I think it's a great step for these game devs. I would personally love to see unions implemented in more studios and even outside of the gaming realm. And in an area where we see articles about game dev crunch and quality of life issues and quality of work issues for game devs, we need to have some sort of protections. If we love games, we need to protect the people that make them. So
I mean, that is a good idea, right? Like, you do want generally the people who are bringing you said product, you do kind of need them around, right?
Absolutely.
So I was, you know, if this is what they wanted, you know, I don't get into the nuance of debating unions versus not unions, right? I'm not that dude, nor is this the show for that. But I will say, if this is what they wanted and it affords them some protections, maybe some benefits and things like that, I'm very happy for them. I know, like I said, plenty of people have fought the good fight for this in the gaming industry. So to see it actually starting to come to fruition is kind of mind blowing, but still cool nonetheless. Like, I'm just like, wow, this is, maybe we're moving forward in a way where game devs will get some protection. Because I know they're, you know, at upper levels of management in many companies, there's a phrasing we use, which is the golden parachute. So you can expect to live pretty well for quite a while if you're no longer in that position, right? But in game development, if the stories of Jason Schreier are to be believed as common, which I'm in no place to debate, that is rough, man. That's a rough way to try to live. You know what I mean? Just to bring people entertainment. I mean, so many stories of no pay and no benefits and, you know, just that's rough, man.
Like, and don't work like balance either, which regardless of pay, even if the pay is good, if you don't have a life to go enjoy that pay with, it becomes very frustrating and honestly just draining on yourself as an individual.
That's true. It's funny you say that. I remember checking out a study where it was like, there's no positive correlation between making more than 80K a year and being happier.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was. Just a tidbit. I can't remember when I read that, but I was just like, that's kind of shocking, right? That you would think like, oh, I make 100 or 200,000 a year, I'm happier. No, it doesn't exactly work that way. So yeah, wild story. But congrats to those QA workers. And, you know, I know Activision Blizzard has been previously accused of union busting, as the article clearly points out. And so, you know, maybe the potential Microsoft acquisition is kind of helping some things that we didn't think come along. I know we've talked a lot on the show, especially about Sony's complaints with the deal. And I'm not going to go there now, even though I sure could. But maybe this is one positive benefit of potentially Microsoft coming on and, you know, bringing unions with them for work protection. So congrats to them. All right. So I just want to talk about one other thing before we get to our predictions, and that is some RPG sales numbers for some recent releases. And the one that gets me kind of like super motivated, actually, is the Persona 5 Royal news, where it's the latest release, according to Atlas's Twitter, the latest release of Persona 5 has already sold, this is on 30th of November 2022, has already sold 1 million units. So
incredible, honestly.
A PS3 game, bro. Sold a million units in its latest release. And I'm just going to talk about the other one, which is I found an article, a small website, PersonaCentral.com. I believe it's a small website anyway. PersonaCentral.com. They said 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, which recently had a Switch release, and I guess it had a value pack released in Japan as well, has now hit 800,000 copies. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. And the reason I want to talk about this, and I'll get some thoughts in first here, is I've often tried to explain to people why you want JRPGs if you care about the genre to be multi-platform. I've talked about it on Twitter with people. Because most JRPGs would kill for 3 million copies sold.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 million copies sold to most JRPGs, man, they're in the office popping bottles, man. They're like, yo, we sold 3 million. Which is like, if you combine the platforms, as you know, if you combine all three platforms, I don't even know if that's 1%. I think it is, but like it's not a lot of
players.
Players. Yeah, and that's not including PC, by the way. I meant console platform. So it's like 1% of console players or something like that, right? So like, think about that for a minute, right? And it's crazy that I think now what people are really seeing that people just want to play. I think companies, are really seeing that people just want to play these games on their preferred platform. It's not that they don't want the games. And so I'm really happy to see kind of where this is taking us. And I hope when people get on whatever platform of choice, you know, on the interwebs and start arguing against platforms getting JRPGs, you think about what you're actually saying. Because if games don't sell, we don't see them anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, hey, you might, even though you may hate said platform, if you're really a plastic box loyalist, even if you hate another platform, you may want a JRPG to hit it so that you get another one. But anyway, just wanted to get those thoughts out there. How did you feel about seeing the success and the excitement of these companies?
Oh, absolutely love it. A couple of things that came to mind is I'd love to see a breakdown of the three consoles, PlayStation 5, Switch, and Xbox, as far as the sales for Persona 5. But the fact that it's managed to sell this many while still being on Game Pass for free is incredible. So, you know, congrats to Atlas. That's absolutely fantastic. And I'd love to see it continue because, you know, if I love something, I want more people to enjoy it. I don't want to keep it away from people. Yeah.
Yeah. I love this game so much. You shouldn't play it, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm a gamer.
Yeah.
you know why you shouldn't play it? You don't have the right box, bro.
Oh.
No, it's funny. And I was looking at my collection, which I may put a photo of this later. But I actually have every version of Persona 5 that was released. In terms of like Persona 5 Steelbook, Persona 5 Royal Steelbook, PS4. Both those on PS4. Mm-hmm. And then, well, I may not have the PS3 one. Sorry. But I also have it on PS5, Switch, and Xbox.
Wow.
So I have, yeah, maybe I have to go find me a PS3 one so I can be like, I have them all.
I've not heard good things about that one. I don't know if you need that one.
All right, maybe I should leave it out there. Thanks for letting me know. Things did. Hey, look, back in that day, things could be a little rough. Let's be real.
Yeah, well, when you're developing something to run on a console like the PlayStation 4 and then also releasing it on the PS3, there's going to be some issues with the older platform keeping up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a hard platform to develop for anyway, because that was... was that cell processor, right? That was kind of unique. Yeah, and then to see 13 Sentinels hit that number, I was happy too. I did buy 13 Sentinels as well for the Switch when it dropped. And I recently got a copy for one of the other, you know, step-in hosts from time to time, Gangster Clifford, my Rocket League teammate, because it sold for $5 at GameStop brand new.
Wow, okay.
So it was a special they had one day. And I was like, man, for $5, I can't leave it. One of my friends doesn't have it. And so I called him, and I was like, yo, I got this for $5. And he was like, can you get me one for $5? And I was like, nah, it was the last one, but you can have this one, though, because I already got it. You know what I mean? Like, but you just take that with you, man. Merry Christmas or whatever. But I was like, at $5, man, that's just kind of incredible, man.
I mean, I can't think of a game that I wouldn't really pick up for $5, honestly.
Well, and that's funny. I have two copies of the Steelbook of Persona 5 Royal. This is back before I knew it was, you know, obviously before I knew it was going to come to more platforms.
Right.
But I got one to be able to give it away if somebody needed it. So I have two Persona 5 Royals on PS4 Steelbook editions, because I was like, one of my friends may end up needing this one day. And we know how JRPGs get.
Oh, it's insane.
It's, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, I'll just get the second one. It was like, I got it on sale with $25-$30 or something. It wasn't a lot, right? I was like, oh, I don't care. And I always want my friends to be on that JRPG greatness. So
I think part of that is just number of copies sold. There's just less of them out in the wild compared to, you know, your average FPS game. So I think even, you know, Persona 5 Royal selling 1 million copies will help prevent something like that happening, where it becomes inaccessible in the future.
Yeah, and you're so right about inaccessibility, because, you know, there's another game we play, and we use this phrasing a lot, so I know you'll understand it, but JRPGs, in my opinion, especially the smaller ones, are definitely low print run games for physical mm-hmm. releases. So if you don't catch it early and there's no reprint, you could just be done up, man. There's like 3 or 4 games I need a reprint of. They're not all JRPGs, but they're definitely games that are. And I'm like, man, please make a reprint. One of the ones I had, like, for example, a lot of times I have to jump on European copies because the first Atelier Ryza, the first one, right? If you a North American version was a one run game, if I remember correctly. So I have a US version. Of course, the box is open because I got it from GameStop. God, I can't stand them. But I got it brand new. But I had to get a PEGI one, you know, European version for the Switch one that I have.
Right.
Because it was easy to get there, but a US one was going for like $100.
I had to do something similar. I caught, I believe, a European release of Gravity Rush, the first one remastered on PS4. Oh, yeah.
You squared me away with one of those. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And even used, I want to say it was going for like $60 at the time, but thanks to just more printings in Europe, I was able to get one for way less than that.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, like you said, right, that we can avoid some of that going forward, because it's really tough to, you know, try to run those games down later. And I've yet to see anyone, unless they develop some software to do it, I guess, but just a normal, regular gamer, even a certain level of collector, who can keep up with every game release. Like, it's just
not in this day and age, with more studios than ever before putting out games way easier than ever before. You know, you're able to put out games faster, release them entirely digitally. You don't have to find a physical distributor for them.
Yeah. And don't forget, when it does release physically, it may release on a small distributor. You got like the limited runs, the special reserves, the strictly limited, you know what I mean? Like, so there's like, you have to check all these other places too. And then if you don't get it from one of those, you have to hope it comes to another place. And then you have to hope they do it right. There's one game, the Switch version of that limited run, I think it's like a mistake with the game, because I'm trying to get every JRPG for Switch. I'm doing my best. I'm probably going to fail, but I'm doing my best. And Cosmic Star Heroine, which from everything I've heard from all accounts is a great JRPG. I do have it digitally in multiple places, but I wanted to get the physical one for Switch, but you know, it's not It requires an internet download.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was trying to see if the PS4 copy had the same issue. But even if I do want that, since it's limited run, it's like $70. Like, it's like, dude, I mean, because I have to get it from a reseller now.
Right.
So I'm just like, really, man? Like, so it's really tough to sometimes keep up with it. That's some of the challenges I've been having lately, too. There was a shmup I recently got from PlayAsia. It's the Bullet Soul double pack. And okay. It had sold out for a little bit, right? And so I was like, oh, man. And then I went to, you know, one of those reseller marketplaces, you know, pick your poison. And it was already going for like, you know, had a markup of like at least 50% already. And I was like, man, please let this come back in stock. And the day it came back in stock, bro, it was over. I bought it right. It's like, yep, give me that right now because this is stupid. So, yeah, you have to be careful. And there's, you know, I still like love physical games because there's still games I'm finding. They get pulled off of digital marketplaces, and the only way to play them is via the physical version.
Right.
So that makes it challenging at times, to say the least. So I'm just like, holy cow, man. Like, you know, but if this helps that, if people seeing these games selling helps it, I'm all about it, man. Please continue to, do the right thing. Make them, bring them to all platforms, and let's see the sales success. I was shocked that 13 Sentinels didn't hit Xbox when the Switch one did.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that Xbox fought really hard to get Persona 5 Royal at least, you know, to the platform because, and I have had it for a very long time, but playing it, I'm like, man, this really is a great game. And I'm not sure when I would have gotten to it if it didn't hit the platform. So. Nice. I'm hoping more companies are looking at that and being like, you know, and we've heard so many good franchises talk about it, like the Yakuza franchise, right?
Right.
Sega. You know, we've heard a lot of what's the Scarlet Nexus has talked about it. There's a lot of companies talking about, yo, there really is an audience on this platform for our games, but you know, we're not putting them there. So I just hope
we need Square Enix to see that as who we really need,
man,
to see that.
That spurned, you know. Let's take a quick detour right here because we're going to get into predictions next anyway. That spurns me because, like, I am so angry at that because I'm convinced with no proof whatsoever that they're getting paid to not. Like, I'm convinced Sony is paying them to not release games on the platform, on Xbox. I'm convinced. And I'm just like, it sucks because nothing I could do, but I'm just like, why, man? Why
what keeps me away is that they're still releasing some games, just not the number one selling games. They're huge games, the mainline Final Fantasy releases, that will clearly sell more than the spin-off titles and side titles and other projects they work on. Your mainline Final Fantasies are absolutely going to outsell those side projects, and they just refuse to put them on an Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and I don't know why. I'm like, guys, take the money. It's in your face.
Right.
It's like, oh, man. It's that when companies do that, honestly, at this point, though, Square to me is a shadow of their former self. I do want the Pixel remaster. If Pixel remaster comes to console and doesn't come to Xbox, your boy might give Square, you know, just a few pennies of my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You understand? But honestly, I want the Trails series more than most Square stuff that's not retro.
Interesting. Okay.
I do, because Trails to me is another banger. That series is awesome. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take Trails and just make sure I get Pixel Remaster. And if you want to be stupid and you can just keep the rest. Because until I see more of Final Fantasy 16, it doesn't strike me like people think it does. To me, it makes sense. It strikes me more like Devil May Cry. But the combat director, if I'm not mistaken, is from Devil May Cry.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm not like, oh man, that looks like JRPGs I remember. You know, I'm more for the classic kind of feel. Even though action combat doesn't totally bother me, I'm more for the classic feel in my Final Fantasies. And every time I see this, I'm like, it doesn't look like this is it. You know what I mean?
See, I'm the opposite because and this may be a hot take, but I way prefer the Final Fantasy VII remake combat to the original Final Fantasy VII combat.
Oh yeah, and it's not a hot take
It's
either, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. The combat system from that Final Fantasy 15, and then from what I've seen of Final Fantasy 16, far what appeals to me far more than turn-based combat. So I would love to see all the new Final Fantasies hit Xbox, especially if that's the combat systems that are going to be implemented.
Well, and so to be clear, I don't necessarily hate it. It's not what I like, right? But I
I see.
do think
Okay.
if you're a I don't want to say a modern gamer. I don't want to imply anything that relates to age. I best only know kind of way I know how to equate it. If you didn't grow up with the JRPGs I grew up with, I could see that take. And I believe it's more common with gamers today anyway. So I guess you could say younger gamers if you want to say gamers who play a lot of different types of games, however you want to equate that. But I believe that is the common take, is
Okay.
that action combat is preferred. Also, if I'm not, another big reason I believe it's there is because that hits a wider audience than, say, turn-based does.
Right.
I believe in the metrics, right? Action combat, there's wider audiences that like that versus the turn-based thing. So I totally get why companies are doing it.
Once you find something you mesh with as far as combat systems go, it's harder to step out of your comfort zone
There
and
you go.
try things that are different. So if you grow up playing action combat games, you're going to be more inclined to continue playing those versus trying out other systems
Well,
like
well said.
tactic style or turn-based.
And I have an example of that years ago. I remember playing, I've been a big JRPG guy ever since. Shout out to David if I can't find him in today's world. I hope he's doing well. Ever since he gave me Chrono Trigger, I've been on that system and that type of game. And man, if you're gonna start somebody with one, whew, banger. Thanks again, David. But the issue comes in when I remember growing up when systems are so drastically different. And you really don't like them. The game that a lot of people really liked back in the day, that I actually, respectfully speaking, don't have the love for that many do, for the combat system specifically, is Kingdom Hearts. Because it was so different. I was like, what is this? Like, this isn't
It's
turn-based.
a it's like a strange
It's a
hybrid.
weird hybrid. Yeah, like I was like, what's going on? And again, I'm not knocking the game. I have it in my collection, especially for historical purposes, and I have the remakes and the remasters and all that stuff. But I'm just saying, I remember as a kid, to your point, right? I was like, not like this other system. Where's the other system? I can be guilty of that just like anybody else. You're so right on that. I love that. I love that system. I think Trails would be a nice blend for people. Well, kind of a nice blend for people who may not really be digging it. But we'll see. We'll see how that works. And actually, from what I understand, I was watching a video on this recently. The brand new trail, I think it was the new trail. Forgive me for not remembering the game, but I'm pretty sure it was the new trails. It literally has both systems in it. You can either
Oh,
play
okay.
action or play turn-based. So there was a guy giving a breakdown. Man, I wish I'd had this up for the show. There's a guy giving a breakdown of a game, and it had both systems in it, and he showed like how you could flip to either system. It
That
was
is
really cool, man.
incredible. I'm sure it's
Yeah.
a ton of work for the devs,
Oh,
but I
man.
would love to see that in more games.
Bro, I said this. I said, shout out to whoever did that work, because that's got to be hard to design.
It's like making two games right there.
Yeah, but he showed it, and I was like, yeah. This is I can dig this because you know which system I'm always going to use. But I get it for people like you who want to use the other one. So it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool. But all right, we're gonna move into our Game Awards predictions. So we'll obviously we've got our 2022 nominees. But I think we'll start with the. See here, my page got a little twisted. Hold on one second. I believe we will start with the most anticipated game. So, in most anticipated game, you have Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4, Starfield, and The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. That is what I'm seeing.
That's what I see as well.
Yeah, do you what do you think will win this? Do you have any educated guess, any hypothesis? Clearly, you haven't touched any of them because they're not out yet.
So I have a couple theories on this one. I think personally that Hogwarts Legacy is going to win. There's a ton of hype around that game. It's been delayed a couple times. I think the only reason it's even in most anticipated and not up for awards because of some of these delays. Mm-hmm. And it's releasing on multiple platforms, meaning there's going to be a lot more players looking forward to it. I think mm-hmm. Starfield would have been the winner had it not been for some of the drama regarding Starfield and the Bethesda acquisition.
And the delay. There's a delay there,
too. And the delay, yeah. Zelda is, I'm sure, has a lot of hype, but it's only on Nintendo, so you're missing out on a huge portion of the player base there. Mm-hmm. And then same with Final Fantasy 16. It's only going to be on PlayStation, so you have only one group of players that are looking forward to it.
Okay, so you're going Hogwarts Legacy. For me, I have a beef with Hogwarts Legacy because there's content on PlayStation that's not on Xbox.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it actually is. I remember talking about it because it was identified in their state of play, and it was the most wishy-washy bipolar state of play I've watched in recent memory. We covered it on the show. But I'm going to go Zelda, bro.
Okay.
I'm going to go Zelda because nothing beats Zelda, bro.
That's true.
It's kind of like a universal law. The only thing that can beat Zelda is Zelda. And I don't agree with the law, but I don't control the universe. So what I wish, right quick, is I wish Breath of the Wild came out this year. And then Elden Ring came out, you know what I mean? So we could actually see.
Oh, which one stacked, how they stacked up against each other.
But I'm definitely going to go Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I just think that people have been waiting for that game so long. To even Nintendo, during their directs, has to be like, hey guys, there's no Zelda news to update you on. Like, there's no, I'm sorry, no Zelda yet. So
that's true.
Yeah, if Hogwarts Legacy, this is for me, I don't know how the voters are going to be. If Hogwarts Legacy did not have a piece of content removed from one platform, maybe that's where my vote would go. But since they did, I was like, you know, I'm a little tired of the era of slicing off content from any platform. I don't like platforms having less content than the other. It doesn't matter what platform people play on. I want them all to have the same game to enjoy.
Oh, hard agree. If I'm going to the store to buy a game and it's on multiple platforms, I don't want to have to do prior research beforehand to figure out which one is the best platform to buy it for.
Yeah, it's so stupid and anti-consumer. But that's me. But yeah, I'm definitely going to go Zelda there. So we'll move on, if my mouse will work. From there, we will go to Best Adaptation. So Best Adaptation. See what we had. Oh, yeah. This is our... Oh, it's going to be good. This is our kind of, you know, like movie, TV show category. So we have Arcane from League of Legends. We have Cyberpunk Edge Runners. We have The Cuphead Show, which I didn't know existed. That's definitely about to go down. Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Uncharted. So what do you got?
So I think that Arcane is going to walk away with this one.
Do you? I do.
The success of Arcane, the hype around it. Full disclosure, I just started watching it. I'm about four episodes in, and I can't stand League of Legends, and I think that show is absolutely fantastic. I watched Edge Runners, and there are things I enjoyed about it, such as the animation and the music and the setting, all wonderful. The actual plot was...
What the cookie saying? It was not mid? Right.
Yeah, mid.
Yeah, it was in the Gaming Times pad language. That would be it was serviceable, I guess.
Yeah,
like, I mean, but it wasn't.
When the plot is driven by poor character decisions over actual plot developments, I'm gonna have an issue with it.
Yeah, I said the same. I actually said on our show that I thought it was mid. Like, I didn't get the hype. I didn't.
But. I also didn't know the Cuphead show existed until looking at this list, and
I'll be watching it soon.
Same. So. I do think it's funny that a game based on classic animation now has its own animation.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that. That's true. And it was hand-drawn, too.
Right.
Hand-drawn game. Now there's a show. That's funny.
I wonder if they hand-drew the show or if they did it digitally.
Did the computer style? Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. So for me, right, if I was voting of the ones I've seen, sorry, Cuphead, because I do love that IP, mm-hmm. I'm going to actually go Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Really?
I thought that movie was awesome, bro.
Okay.
I really thought they did a great job with Sonic the Hedgehog 2. But I remember watching the original review and I was like, hearing some things, my favorite movie reviewer, shout out to Jeremy Johns, who normally never lets me down. He doesn't. And he was saying some things about the movie that I understand. But to me, Sonic 2 is literally amazing. Like that movie's awesome. I watched it in theater as well.
Okay.
That's what I would vote for. Edge Runners definitely wouldn't get my vote. That was mid. To your point, though, animation is incredible.
The animation is so good.
Yeah, yeah. The actors did a great job. It's just that plot and the way things kind of develop.
That's really the only complaint I have with it, because everything else, the character just design, as you said, the actors, the voice actors, are fantastic. But so disappointing.
Yeah. Now I will say, I'm with you that Arcane was legit. Shout out to my discount Harley Quinn. If you know, you know. So like Arcane was legit though. Like I was a fan of Arcane. Like they did real good with that too. I can't exactly say that about Uncharted. I still really wish they would have did the Nathan Fillion Uncharted that I always wanted. But, shout out to them. It was serviceable. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Sonic the Hedgehog 2. But if Arcane wins, you know, that would be my close second anyway. So,
I'm so bad at keeping up with movies, but now I'm going to have to go watch Sonic 2.
I enjoyed it, bro.
Such high praises.
Yeah, I didn't know you hadn't seen it, so now I won't say anything about it. But I really enjoyed Sonic 2. That's all I'm saying. Like, I thought it was... And Idris Elba as Knuckles, my dude. That was, was good, bro. It was really, really good. So there are our predictions there. So the best debut indie. And best debut indie, we have Neon White, which I was supposed to look up after last show. Didn't get a chance. Norco, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors. What are your thoughts?
So... I think Stray is going to win, and not to say that it's better than any of the other games, but it's mm-hmm. got more reach. It's more people know about it, more people have played it, more people have heard of it. And I think that alone is going to carry it. Now, it's also got a very, like, it's a unique game. It's not like there's any other games like it around. Mm-hmm. So that it has that going for it as well. So no discount to it, but I think it's going to win just on reach alone.
I think it kind of has to, because it's nominated for Game of the Year. So
right,
like if once you're nominated for Game of the Year, can anything beat you? But what my guess would be, if it was something I was looking at, so my prediction is Stray will win. But if it was me, from what I've seen, I think Discount Zelda, Tunic, I think Tunic would win. Just kidding, by the way. But I think that game has such a fervent fan base. And the way you have to like put the manual together is part of like the kind of plot device of the game as well. Like, I truly believe that game is special. I was shocked that it wasn't nominated for Game of the Year, to be honest with you. I even put that on Twitter. Like, I keep hearing about Tunic. So I'm like, man, I guess that's what I was like, it's so, and I've watched some of it too as well. It's got that kind of great combat too. I was like, yeah. So that's what, of the, you know, what I've seen of all of them, like, which in fairness isn't a whole lot. So, mm-hmm. you know, everybody holds it against me, but I would probably go Tunic. But Stray's nominated for Game of the Year, so I don't know how it loses. That's the thing. Like, if you're already nominated for being one of the best games of the year, how do you lose your debut to the marketplace, whatever? I just don't think so. So then we have best multiplayer. So here we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiverses, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
So,
okay.
On this one, I have very mixed feelings. I would love to see TMNT Shredder's Revenge win, based on the fact that it's a couch co-op. Like, right. Just based solely on that fact, I want to see it win. I want that to encourage more developers to invest in couch co-op.
To go back.
See that as a feature, come back.
Yeah.
What I would think is likely to win is Overwatch 2, simply because...
Really?
Yeah, so I have a lot of thoughts on Overwatch. It's not a true sequel, at least not for the players. Yeah, maybe the dev work made it feel like a full sequel for them. Mm-hmm. But just to see a game like Overwatch, which is, in my opinion, one of the most accessible, I guess, quote-unquote, esports games, come back and with more refined gameplay, free-to-play, I think that is a success for Blizzard, regardless of a lot of the negativity around that game. Mm-hmm. And I certainly want to see it win, be Call of Duty, because I don't want to see Call of Duty win. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I'll give you, I don't see Call of Duty winning, not because it's terrible multiplayer. I just, when I watch that game, it feels old, bro.
It just looks like every other Call of Duty ever.
Yeah, I mean, like, it looks pretty, but it feels old. I'm just like, man, like, when I watch streamers play, it doesn't even look fun anymore. But that's my take, by the way. If you love Call of Duty, love Call of Duty. I'm not knocking anybody
who hate to the millions of y'all that buy that game every year. You enjoy it, and I'm happy you enjoy it. I don't.
There's no way. It's funny. There's no way I'm putting on Call of Duty over Apex ever. Yeah. Ever, bro. If you could sit in my game room, and there's never going to be a day where I'm like, I'll play Call of Duty instead of Apex. Doesn't exist. I'm like you. I wish if I had a vote, I would go Shredder's Revenge, just because I think that game is awesome. I've seen some Splatoon 3, which I know a lot of people love. But honestly, I'm going to go Multiversus or Super Smash Versus WB Edition.
Right. Okay.
Because I think that game is capturing that Smash feel with the WB universe, which I really didn't know how much they owned. And I think it's
everything, apparently.
Right? And I think it's got a lot of potential. I mean, you got Arya Stark, LeBron James, Batman, Shaggy, blah, blah, blah. So I think that game will actually win.
Okay.
With Splatoon 3 coming in a very close second when we look at votings. But I'm with you. Of my own heart, I would love to see Shredder's Revenge win.
So the only reason I didn't say Multiverses is because there's another category it's in, and I think it's going to do well in that category.
I see. I can dig it. So next up we have best sports racing. So in best sports racing we have F1 22, FIFA 23, NBA 2K23, Gran Turismo 7, and Ollie Ollie World. What do you got?
Oh man, so I
know what I got.
I'm probably the worst person to ask about sports games and racing games. I play them occasionally, but when it comes to racing games, I really like the open world ones because I just like to drive around and have fun. I don't even.
You're a Forza Horizon guy.
Yeah, I'm a Forza Horizon guy. I don't even do the races. I just love to drive around the environments. I would like to see Ollie Ollie World win just because it's such a unique game. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see anything from EA win because they just cash it in every time. They just come out with the same game every year and sell well, and it's disrespectful to their fans, honestly. And so we shouldn't give them anything.
Mm-hmm. So okay, my actual guess is Ollie Ollie World, and I have played that. I'm a huge fan of Ollie Ollie, period, as people is the show frequently will know. Mm-hmm. I love Ollie Ollie World. I got through certain parts of it, but I haven't like completed it or roll credits on it. But I bought that game day one, as a matter of fact, on my Xbox. Mm-hmm. Big fan. I hope they come out with physicals because I will be buying them. FIFA 23. I mean, EA is about Ultimate Team, bro. It's just the bottom line. So like,
digital trading card game at this point.
That's literally what it is. NBA 2K23. Well, I like to give them credit where credit is due. Some of their things like franchise and so forth. They're really on the same thing, man. Online stuff, My Park and all the, you know, all these, they have their Ultimate Team stuff too. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, sports games to me fell way off, man. I don't even buy them for more than $30 anymore. Like we had a chance to really bring about greatness. If you go back to look at like, maybe like a Madden 07, I think it was on GameCube. We got the drills and you can do all stuff. And to just now, it's just like, yo, buy our cards and all. It's like, ugh. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just like, I have very fond memories of playing sports games back when the 360 first came out, playing like NBA, NHL 05, I want to say. It was like the last one that I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You go back to, it's about 07, 08, somewhere in that time frame where I was just like, they just started rolling down the hill, and now it's an avalanche of terribleness. and abuse of your wallet. Gran Turismo 7 had the marketplace issues, and so I was like, when you can't sell a car in a Gran Turismo, I got to wonder what you were designing. And that may have changed. I don't know. But I just remember following that at launch. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't spend my money on this. Not to mention, and this wouldn't have affected my vote, but it's an always online game. So, like, you can get a disc and not get anything pretty much. And then F1 22, I haven't played. So, I can't comment on it. I hope it's a good game. But Ollie Ollie World, hands down, I think, is where I would kind of, you know, bet my guess on. I'd be like, yeah, this is what I think is going to...
It's so unique. It's got such a wonderful art style, especially when you compare all the other games, which You know, no hate to any devs, because I know that job is hard and it's probably one of the most unthanked jobs in existence. But all those games look the same to me, like in terms of there's nothing unique about the graphical style or the design, the art style for any of the other four games. So like Ollie Ollie World just stands on its own. In this
well,
category.
It's mellow too. And it's about being mellow and enjoying skateboarding. I can't, like I said, as a person who never could skateboard, and at least not good in any way. Mm-hmm. I just really like the vibe, the feel, like what they executed. It was great. And I realized in all my my mouseness, I skipped over one of the categories, my bad, which was best esports game. My apologies for missing that one. There are some categories we are skipping to the listeners, but that one was not supposed to be skipped. So for best esports game, we have Counter-Strike Global Offensive, or Counter-Strike GO, as it's commonly known, Dota 2, League of Legends, Rocket League, and Valorant. So what you got there?
So I think League of Legends is going to win.
Really?
I think there's so much hype around that game. You've got Arcane that came out this year, which probably brought in a ton of new players to the franchise. And its competition is a Dota, which is the same concept, same type of game, just less popular. Two first-person shooters, which to their credit are popular, but just not to the level of League of Legends, I don't think. And Rocket League, which I love and awful at, as I believe has been mentioned on this show before. And it's very niche. I don't think it has the same wide appeal that League of Legends does.
So I will say the League probably has, I don't know, it's probably close between League and CSGO in terms of like audience size. So I'll give you that. I'm just going to make my homework pick and go Rocket League. Everybody knows what time it is.
Yeah,
I have to vote Rocket League. If it was my vote, it'd be Rocket League. I'm hoping the committee finally gives Rocket League its due, because Rocket League is the jam. And I always watch the RLCS, man. It's been super fun to watch those over the years and show me how much of a scrub I truly am. So, yeah, even though I'm in champ. So, yeah, I'm going to go Rocket League. Win, lose, or draw. As my co-host, I say, that's the hill I'm going to die on. Rocket League for the win.
That's a good hill to die on.
So we're going to, next will be the best sim or strategy game. We have Dune, Spice Wars, which I really want to see. Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Total War Warhammer 3, Two Point Campus, and Victoria 3. Full disclosure, I haven't played any of these.
Neither have I.
Do you have any educated guesses? I know what I want to, I know what I want to see win, without having watched any of the content of it. But what do you think? What's your hypothesis
here? So this is probably going to be one of the most uneducated guesses here. But I'd like to see Dune win, because I love that movie. And yeah. So anything within that franchise, I want to see more of. And so it being successful would lead to more of that. So I'd love to see Dune win. I think Mario would probably win, just because it's Mario.
It says Mario.
That little plumber on the cover, you know, it's going to sell and it's going to do well.
So the appeal of Mario and Rabbids is pretty big. I've seen what they did with the system. It's a little different. Yeah, but I'm like you, sir. I want Dune Spice Wars to win. I want it to win. I'm not going to front about it. I want it to win. I've seen some gameplay of Mario and Rabbids, though, and it is good. But if I had my pick without seeing anything other than the cover arts, which is kind of true, I'm all about Dune Spice Wars, man. That universe, that it's just, it hits different for me. But to your point, if we were in Vegas, I would say Mario and Rabbids would be my guess. For sure. So next we have best. Let me make sure I got that right. Oh, I think I got this out of order. So we'll jump to best fighting next.
Okay.
Which is DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R. That's the title. The King of Fighters 15, Multiversus, and in a weird sequence of events, Sifu, which I didn't know was a fighting
that really confused me as well. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh, the single player fighter. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay. That one got me, but that's our nominees. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, as someone who is a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure fan, I'd like to see that one win. This is the reason it's got the R at the end is because it's like a remaster, a re-release from
okay
a older I guess, edition of the game. So it's odd to me that it is would be considered for a nomination. I think Multiversus is going to win, though. It's that platform fighter that is super popular, just like Smash Bros. And then, as you said before, WB has so many brands. There's so many different characters for people to love and get attached to, and that will draw them into the game. And it very successful this year. I think it's going to win. I know King of Fighters is an established franchise, but fighting games in general are niche, and it is not Street Fighter. So I do think that Multiversus is going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. My guess would be Multiversus will win. Arc System Works is who created DNF Duel. Mm-hmm. So I know it's very competent. I would think that would probably be a close second.
Okay.
Because the King of Fighters is all, like you said, it's established and everything, but yeah, I'm definitely going to go Multiversus. From what I've seen, which is very little, DNF Duel, I definitely think it's a very interesting game, though. King of Fighters 15. So, you know, the 1-point fighting games were my literal genre. That's like what I played.
Right.
But with the new Battle Pass kind of era, or the new DLC era, it's just so expensive to play one now.
I don't
play them till the end of their life now, because that's when I can get all the characters. I can, you know what I'm saying? Enjoy everything with the game. Because there was a game, I'm forgetting the name of it right now. It's a fighting game that came out. Oh, well. But to get the DLC, bro, it's like half the price of the game. And there's like 2 or 3 DLC packs. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I can't do that. But I'm going to go Multiversus also because it's the most accessible, being free. So it's the most accessible game on that list. Time will tell. So I got Multiversus taking home a couple of awards.
Can I just say something real quick to any potential fighting game companies who may be listening to this? Just charge me the $90 or $100 and don't make me wait for the characters.
Well, not just that. So charge me the $100. And if you're actually releasing DLC characters, that way I just get them when you release them.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I'll take that. If you want to release the game in pieces, just charge me $1 or $120. And if there's going to be 4 content updates, just give me all of them. Because I'm tired of like buying a game. Then I got to do, I don't want to go into rant.
No worries. Yeah. Sorry to get off topic.
No, you're good. It just hit me in that nerve because I can't tell you how many times this happened. Okay. So best family game, which really looks like best Nintendo game almost, but Kirby in the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which that's a family. Anyway, Nintendo Switch Sports and Splatoon 3. What do you think? For best family game, not best Nintendo game, best family game.
So I think that the Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga deserves to win simply because of how long it's been worked on, the amount of love and care that went into that game, and just the amount of content in that game. It's absolutely fantastic. If you haven't played it yet, please do. It's so good. I don't think it's going to beat Kirby. I think if you put something up against a Nintendo game, the Nintendo game is likely to win just due to...
Well, you have 4 Nintendo games. That's why I'm like, well, it's technically, I guess, 3, but it really feels like 4 Nintendo games. So, yeah, Lego Star Wars is so highly regarded, but I actually think, even though it released like the dog water state, like it could have been better, I still think Nintendo Switch Sports kills it, bro.
Interesting. Okay. So I didn't see anything after release. I figured it would have been as big as Wii Sports was back in, 15 years ago or whatever. But then for it to come out and then just disappear overnight, I was honestly surprised to see it on this list.
Well, they've released a lot of like lackluster games in terms of their total overall content. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them. But on this list, is there truly a better family game?
I guess it depends on what family game infers. Does family game infer a game that you sit down and play with the whole family, or is family game infer a game that is family friendly?
So I look at it as a game you play with kids. That's how I look at best family game.
Okay.
Right, because I think that's just how my mind works. You say, what's the best game for your family? It's a your couple and kids, right? That's the whole family, right? For me. Which truly the best family game of all time is Mario Kart. There's no need for discussion. But in this category, I was just like, if I'm sitting down, let's say I don't have a family like that, but if I had a wife and kids, right? What would I sit down and play? And it would probably be Nintendo Switch Sports, man. It would. Like, I can't help it.
Yeah, that's a very fair and valid point. And honestly, with that being the kind of, I guess, idea of family game, it makes me wonder why there's even single player games on here.
That's why I was, bro, I literally looked at this. Splatoon 3, I get, right? Because it's competitive, but I would say, you know, it depends. So I think Splatoon 3 has a good chance. Mario and Rabbids, I totally don't understand. Lego Star Wars, I do, because Lego games are kind of, you know what I mean? They're always have like a good, like, kind of lesson with them, and they're always very well done. So believe it or not,
they're always couch co-op too. It's one of the few franchises that still delivers on that.
Right. And to be fair, I don't know if Mario and Rabbids has any sort of co-op either. But to be fair, so I get three of the five games. Kirby, I thought, was straight single player, though. I can go look at my box and verify for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's straight single player. Maybe I'm wrong, though. If I'm wrong, I stand corrected. I haven't looked at my box. But yeah, so the games in the category are kind of weird. But really, just give the Lifetime Award to Mario Kart 8 until Mario Kart 9 comes out. We'll keep it moving. Because that's truly the best game of all time. I'm actually hoping to play with my niece very soon.
So I did look it up, and Kirby does have co-op.
Okay, maybe that's why then. So maybe since it has co-op, it must really be good, because Nintendo doesn't do... It must be good for little kids in terms of the co-op. So, okay, maybe that's why it's there. I'm still gonna go Switch Sports, man. Even though it released content lackluster, I know. That's what I'm gonna go for sure.
That's fair.
Yeah. So after that, we have best role playing, and so we have Elden Ring, Live Alive, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. What you got? Two of these games, by the way, are in the Game of the Year conversation.
They are. So I have very mixed feelings on this. This may be kind of a hot take, but I want to see Pokemon win.
I know you. So I don't. For me personally, that's not a hot take from you.
So actually, I don't really play Pokemon games very much anymore.
Anymore?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, I loved them, but I kind of fell off around the 3DS era, and there hasn't been one that's really grabbed me since. I want to see Pokemon win because, for one reason alone, and that's this one was a huge departure from the gameplay loop of previous Pokemon, and I want something to indicate to Game Freak that we need better games. in terms of what probably deserves to win, I would say either Xenoblade or Elden Ring, maybe Triangle Strategy. I'm not a big tactics fan myself, so there's definitely some bias there. Okay. Xenoblade continues to be successful on Switch, and I would love to see more games that aren't Zelda and Mario from Nintendo, please. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see them win. Elden Ring's a little weird because I know it is technically an RPG, you've really got to look for that story.
Don't even get me started, bro. When we get the best narrative, I covered that last week when it was nominated for best narrative, and I was like, where's the narrative? Like, I don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's definitely present in the game. You just got to do a lot of reading, which Destiny has too, and people complain all the time that Destiny never had stories. So,
yeah, my only beef with Destiny stories, how hard you had to look for that one too, because it was there. I agree with you on that. It was there.
I think Xenoblade probably deserves it the most. I'd like to see Pokemon win just to send Game Freak a positive message about what we want as fans.
Okay, let's talk about what I want to win. Mm-hmm. I would like either Live Alive or Triangle Strategy to win.
Interesting, okay.
Because I like both of those. They're both very classic in nature, okay? That's why I'm like, yo, these are like really good games. Now, I think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 will win, but not because it deserves to win. I think it's because I truly believe Elden Ring will win Game of the Year.
Okay.
So I think if you're a voter and you're like, all right, man, let's just give Xenoblade their bone. But the game that I actually think that will win, I think Xenoblade will win if the voters do what I just said. But I think Elden Ring just kills it. Like, they just crush it.
They're going to, you think Elden Ring's going to do Last of Us 2 did and just take everything?
Yeah, right. Which, don't even get me started on that either. But yes, I think Elden Ring would potentially deserve it based on the wider audience's take of it, or at least from what I could see in the zeitgeist, right?
Right.
Is it the best for me? No, not even close, man. Like you said, there's a story there somewhere. And I mean that with as much respect as I can. I couldn't find it. I told you, for me, it was the combat was cool at times. It's a little busted, but it's cool at times. But I couldn't get like a side quest to like trigger or a quest I was trying to do to trigger, bro. I was like super annoyed, bro.
Oh, that's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's when I stopped playing it because I was like trying to do something. We had like go to the woods and like some dude or something, and I couldn't get it to work, bro. And I was like, you know what, man? Bump this game, man. Like, if I gotta fight this hard to do a quest, I don't even want to play, man.
Right.
But I think Elden Ring is the likely winner. Okay. But I would rather see Live Alive, which is a remake technically, win, or Triangle Strategy win. I love classic RPGs. I do know what you mean about Pokemon's Arceus. I actually think the Pokemon that just dropped, if it didn't run like literal trash,
oh man,
would be that game, right? If it didn't run that bad, that is the one where I totally agree with you, where I'd be like, yo, you literally have an open world. I go out and find Pokemon, and it's literally open world.
So done, cool. Slam and so cool, and probably the best entry into the Pokemon franchise we've had since, probably a decade at this point.
Black was the last like highly regarded one that I saw.
I loved, Black and White were fantastic in my opinion. Yeah. I want to say that was around, I was probably like a sophomore, junior in high school. Oh my God, I'm old now.
well, but, if you're old, what am I, ancient? Shoot.
No.
Hieroglyphic walls in a minute. But no, Black is the last one that even I got Black.
Okay.
Like around launch. Like I don't know if I still have my box, but I definitely still have Black to get. I don't have White because I only always ever got one. But
yeah,
Black was the last one that I was playing like that. And if it was your high school, that means I might have been playing it in Iraq, maybe. I gotta remember.
Okay. But, I want to say it was like 2010 or 2011.
That means I would have been playing it in Iraq. Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, Black was the last one. But this one that just not Arceus, but the one that literally just came
Scarlet
out.
Scarlet and Violet.
Scarlet and Violet. And I agree with you on Arceus, but Scarlet and Violet to me is the true culmination of what you're describing. It just runs like literal
dude. Absolutely. And I honestly, they just need to stop releasing them so quickly and let them give them time to polish it. The games are fantastic. I won't speak poorly about any of the gameplay features or content they put in the game. It's just not optimized well.
Are you saying Nintendo is potentially doing a Call of Duty and releasing maybe the game too much? Be careful, sir.
Absolutely.
Crowd is going to come for you. No, I'm kidding.
I take no sides. I take the side of good games. Taken gaming. and I will say there are many, many things great about that game, and I give no hate to anyone who's enjoying it. My roommate is currently playing it and loving it, and I think it's fantastic that people are enjoying it. I just wish Game Freak executives would take a little bit more time to give Pokemon fans the quality of game they deserve.
I think that it's just the hardware is finally done. I think the hardware is finally... I'm going to give Game Freak a little bit of a break in this instance, and I'm not the expert, but I think the hardware for the Switch needs an update. And if they go away from the actual... If they do like a complete redesign to where it's like different cartridge types, they don't have backwards compatibility on whatever the next system is, this is the first time I will literally call Nintendo idiots. But as we move forward, the net, because, 7,000 plus games, I'm just saying, it's kind of successful as a system.
Absolutely.
The next category that I have is Best Action Adventure. And so Best Action Adventure covers A Plague Tale: Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, A Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Tunic, or it should be called Lesser Game of the Year. So, what do you think here? I'm actually curious.
So this is where my bias around my favorite games is going to come through, because my personal choice is Horizon Forbidden West. Horizon Zero Dawn is my favorite game of all time. I think that the sequel was very, very good, and I would love to see it win here. I think God of War Ragnarok is going to win, and I think that's totally okay. I think the game is fantastic, but my personal choice is Horizon. I want to see it win.
Yeah, same here. If I had my way, it would be Horizon. Like I talked about on one of our previous shows, I don't think the narrative was as good as the first one, because the first one was literally legendary.
Mm-hmm.
But the gameplay stepped up in every way.
Absolutely.
I definitely would love to see her. I mean, new weapons, everything. I'd love to see Horizon win. But I do, like you, think God of War wins without question. Because it's God of War.
It's God of War 1. Game of the Year, 2018? This is the sequel to that game. It's been hyped up for so long.
Bro, don't forget, it beat Red Dead 2. Red Dead 2 cleaned up that game. It won everything I think it was in except Game of the Year.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
man.
if you can beat a game that was hyped for a decade, then you can
Bro.
certainly beat Horizon.
I just remember it. Then Red Dead 2. Red Dead Redemption 2. Red Dead Redemption. Everybody's like that in the game of the year. It was like God of War. And it was like, whoa. So yeah. I mean, how do you win everything that you're the best at everything, but you're not game of the year? I thought that was funny. But yeah, man. That's why I say to not beat God of War, I would be excuse me, for Horizon to be God of War, I'll be stunned just based on the history of the games. But if it was me, it would be Horizon as well. You're not alone in that. So now we're at best action game as opposed to best action adventure. So you have Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Neon White, Sifu, and Shredder's Revenge, or as I like to call it, a real tough spot for me. What do you got?
So this is a difficult one. There's a couple of these I haven't even played, or I guess yeah, I haven't really played Bayonetta 3 or Neon White. Certainly haven't played Call of Duty. I would like to see Sifu win here because I think Sifu is a fantastic concept, and I want to see it walk away with something. I think that it would be unfair to call it a fighting game.
Yeah,
So I
I don't
don't
even
want
know
to
where
see
that
it win
classification
that.
comes from.
But I certainly think that it should win best action. I don't think it will. I think Bayonetta 3 is going to win just because of the popularity around that franchise. I know there was a lot of iffy stuff about the game
Drama.
coming
Yeah, we
out
covered
and
that
drama with the
thoroughly.
voice actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that the fans really, really love that franchise, and yeah, I think it's likely to win there, although Sifu should win here.
So, okay. So Sifu has a personal spot in my heart because to me, it is the most perfect evolution of the Nintendo game Kung Fu. It's
Okay.
literally the most perfect evolution of that game. It should be called Kung Fu 2, in my opinion. It's that good. But I actually think the game that deserves to win and will win is Bayonetta 3. I'm actually counter to you. I think Bayonetta 3 deserves to win
Okay.
because the action is, yo, bro, that's got some action. The Platinum does that combat and they do it right and they take
It's
that character to
they
a level.
certainly have the cool factor that very few other games can execute well.
Right, and I think it's the same thing as we talked about Pokemon. Not that Bayonetta 3 runs nearly as bad as most recent Pokemon, respectfully. But I just wish we had a little more oomph in the hardware because if Nintendo ever lets it happen, I truly do believe we get that re-released on modern stuff at some point. If Nintendo's ever like, we'll let you do it. Because that game, man, with some more powerful hardware behind it, I'd love to see what they could do, bro. Oh my God, like
Okay.
on Series X? Oh man. Because you know, but like I said, Sifu and Ninja Turtles both like are very special to me. Like I said, Ninja Turtles returning to a classic beat 'em up feel with the Ninja Turtles, and you know, I'm a fan of that game. And then Sifu, I told you, to me is the most. I love Kung Fu. I beat Kung Fu recently. I actually put it on Twitter within the last year, just messing around playing it, like because I
Oh,
love Kung
nice.
Fu. So Sifu to me is a great iteration to what that was. It's not the same studio or anything like that, as far as I know. But I'm just saying to what that game was, because Kung Fu is like playing Game of Death on Nintendo, the Bruce Lee movie Game of Death.
So I'm not gonna lie, I haven't seen that
Don't
movie.
worry, don't worry. It's pretty much like you
Okay.
go through this like building to like rescue somebody, but it's all like martial arts. It's great. Anyway, it's like that.
Okay.
So Sifu being like it is with a much better narrative, is kind of like iteration of that. But now you have a 3D world. You know, you can move around. You have multiple people fighting you. So like, it could have been called like Bruce Lee Game of Death 2. Like it's just really good is all I'm just trying to surmise it. But
That is a
the
beautifully executed game,
yeah.
honestly.
I want to get it on Switch as well. I'm waiting for maybe a bit of a price drop. Maybe. Well, I'll see. Because I waited for a price drop on PS5. But
Okay.
I think that the combat that I've seen, bro, Bayonetta 3 is that game, bro. If you want some action, it's Bayonetta 3. And I think it will win. I think it definitely deserves to win. Next, we have Best VR AR. So Best Virtual Reality, Augmented Reality, for those not in the know. After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss Book 2, and Red Matter 2. So what do you have any thoughts here?
So I don't have a VR setup. I had not heard of any of these games, to be completely honest, besides Among Us VR. I think that'll win just because name recognition. Also, I love Among Us. I think that style of game is fantastic. I
The
love
thing, the
playing.
video game intrigues you, huh?
I love playing the like Saboteur hidden role type board games, and to see it executed so well on a virtual platform is it's amazing. It's wonderful. And I've seen so many clips of the VR version that just make it look like a blast to play. It almost makes me want to buy a VR setup just to try it out.
Yeah, if it's one thing that saddens me about VR is the lack of backwards compatibility. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's because there's so many great games, and I know we're talking about a new VR coming, but if they had the backwards compatibility there, and I'm not saying it's easy, I'm no developer or anything like that, it would really be intriguing. So I definitely respect Among Us, but there's something that I didn't know was in this category. And the first one is highly regarded, which is Moss.
Really?
So,
okay.
Oh, dude, it's highly... When I got my PSVR, it was one of the games that was recommended by everyone. It's like Astro, Moss, Tetris Effect, and I forget the two other ones. So I'm actually, with total ignorance, I'm going to call Moss Book 2. Just total ignorance. Even though Among Us, I think, is a great game, period. And in VR, that's got to be a lot of fun.
Oh, the clips were just so funny. If you haven't seen any, I highly recommend checking it out.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to give that a look. So that's where I'm going to go. So the next category is innovation in accessibility. You have As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, The Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry. Do you have any thoughts on like, this is an interesting category to me, because I remember The Last of Us Part 2's innovations on accessibility, and they were amazing. I actually thought that's the one award, respectfully speaking, that I thought they deserved to win unquestionably.
Okay.
Was their accessibility features, because it was like, yo, you can play it in colorblind modes, you can play it, like, it was just like so right. Much stuff, bro. I was like, holy cow, man. But these ones, I'm not as familiar with what any of these companies have done. The reason I'm confused is, did The Last of Us Part 1 do even more? Like, it's hard to imagine they iterated on what they already had done. Like,
I imagine what they did is they took a lot of those accessibility features from The Last of Us 2 and added them to, Last of Us Part 1.
Mm.
It's really hard for me to speak to accessibility because I don't need these accessibility features. So I don't know what has truly benefited people who do need these accessibility features and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just from an outside perspective and likely not the most knowledgeable answer.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably give it to God of War Ragnarok, knowing nothing about it, because what I imagine we're going to see with Sony Studios is that they start taking those accessibility features that have been added from like Naughty Dog and other recent games from their studios and add them across all of their studios.
Right,
so
right.
God of War
sharing.
Exactly. So God of War likely released with all of these features that have been implemented in Last of Us Part 2. I would say Last of Us Part 1, because I love the idea of going back and adding accessibility features to old games. However, that's not what happened here. They re-released the same game you've bought twice, a third time. And while I want to give them credit for going in and adding the features, it's hard to do that when they want you to spend $70 on a game you've already played.
Yeah, that's without the multiplayer, no less. That's definitely a good point. I would probably, not having played them all, and in total fairness, I would probably say God of War Ragnarok for the reasons you listed. And there's probably also some innovations there. But, I always joke about the lifetime achievement for it being Mario Kart for the best family game. If I had to give a lifetime achievement in this category, it would be to the Microsoft Adaptive Controller.
Okay.
Just the controller with, like, the circles, and it's designed for handicapped players. Like, growing up, I never thought of anything like that. I never thought I'd see anything like that. I thought if you were just, you couldn't game, right? So it's cool that they did that. And I wish sometimes the awards would just give like a lifetime, like that was awesome. I still intend to buy that controller at some point. That's the one thing I would say about that. But I'm like you, I'll just guess God of War because the zeitgeist too, like the popularity. I'm not going to say the other games don't have great features because I don't truly know. But once the train gets rolling for a franchise, we've seen how it goes. So, but like I said, go ahead.
Oh, just one thing I want to know. I think it's odd that we don't see any awards for peripherals like that, especially seeing as like there are categories here that aren't limited to just games. There are categories for things like content creators and esports teams. So the fact that there isn't a peripherals category is kind of odd to me now that you bring up the Microsoft controller and certainly it should have, it should win an award for what it's done.
It's not new now, right?
But I see.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're going to, because the award category is actually innovation on in accessibility, but it's the game award. So I don't know how that like falls in people's eyes. Mm-hmm. But I was just saying that, you know, I wish sometimes they would give a nod to the things that you can't vote for anymore that never were a thing, but deserve to win just based on like how cool and how accessible they have made gaming. I'm going to drop you a link of it too, in case you don't have never seen it. I don't know if you have, just disregard, but I just think that's really amazing for those people who have less dexterity due to injury or birth, it's like whatever, right? Whatever reason,
right.
they can game, bro. Like that's, it's just so cool to me overall. I try to remember like moments in gaming like that. Not that I'm any sort of gaming historian like the gaming historian on YouTube, but I just always find those moments cool and I remember them. So the controller is legendary, bro. And it works on every system too, if I remember correctly. So.
Wow, yeah. I remember seeing a picture of this and not really understanding what I was looking at. And now that I'm really looking at it, this is fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. It's a legend of its own, like a Mario Kart, right? It's literally a legend of its own in the industry, in my humble opinion. So, but yeah, we're going God of War there. Best community support would be the next category. And I wonder if this really should say best yelling community, but I'll never. So we have Apex Legends. Destiny 2, so we definitely got some loud communities there. Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. Wow. This is kind of I'm going to jump in this one first because this is kind of like a category. But I'm just going to go Apex Legends.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, yeah, Apex, for me, takes it there. What do you think?
So this is definitely another situation where my bias is going to come in. I think Destiny 2 should win.
Well, both our biases alive and on Front Street.
Yeah, and I think part of it is each of us are so in tune with those developers on social media, and we follow all of the updates they put out and all the communication they do. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a category where unless you're actively paying attention to each of these developers and all of the updates and blog posts and tweets that they release, you're always going to have that bias because you're going to see the most communication from that dev team.
Yeah,
I really respect Bungie and the way they communicate. I know there's a lot of complaints within the Destiny community, go figure, about transparentness. But for a company that releases a weekly update talking about, you know, the game and communicating with their players, they weekly blog posts, they have multiple community managers constantly taking in feedback on Twitter, seeing the absolute worst scum of the internet talking to them, and they manage to hold up and continue to do it day by day, week by week, and I hats off to them for putting up with that and continuing to come through.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm gonna say we're probably feel the same way about best ongoing, so I'm just gonna drop that out of our list.
Yeah, I agree.
And play there. So no need to really cover that one. But I definitely agree with you there. You're right, because that is something I actually do follow. Now, I'm maybe not the most in tune player out there. I'm not some pro, but I definitely follow a lot of what has been seen there, or a lot of what they post and so forth. So yeah, it's just one of those things where I'm totally with you. I know we're running a little long today, but we'll go ahead and jump into the next category. I'm just gonna go best indie next, which is Cult of the Lamb, Neon White again, Sifu again, Stray again, and Tunic again. What do you have?
So for this one, I want to say Stray, because it's such a cool and unique concept. I know it's up for some other awards. I don't think it'll necessarily win in those categories, and I'd like to see it win here. If it doesn't win Best Indie Debut.
Yeah, Best Debut Indie, yeah.
Yeah, so I would like to see one of the other nominees for that category win here. I don't want the same game to win in both categories. I feel like it's kind of redundant.
Right.
And so, I haven't played most of these. I haven't played them, so I can't really speak to what deserves to win, but I would like to see something different win. So if Stray doesn't win that one, I want it to win here.
Right.
Vice versa with Sifu.
So I'm with you on that, right? I want Tunic to win one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I want Tunic to win one based on what I've seen. or Sifu, right? I'll take either one, right? I want one of them to win, though, more Tunic than Sifu, but I want either one to win if Stray wins the other and vice versa. The game, the sleeper game in that category, though, is Cult of the Lamb, bro, because that game has a cult following. Like, it is, it's actually getting a physical release, I think. Is it Special Reserve game? But I, actually, it may be getting a widespread physical, too. Like, that game is, it's kind of a sim, like a community sim where you, like, I can't remember how you describe it, but it's definitely a huge game that people truly love.
Okay.
I don't know, building a cult, even though it's great, I don't know, it just makes me kind of like, this is kind of crazy. But yeah, that's but I'm with you. I want either Sifu or Tunic to win if Stray wins the other and vice versa. So one of those and the other, I want Stray to win. I'm going to skip over Games for Impact. Sorry, I just don't know enough about what they're trying to impact.
Yeah, the only one I even played was Citizen Sleeper. I actually played that with you, and it was cool, but I mean, I can't really speak to that category.
Right, yeah. Yeah, me either. Sorry out there. So here we go. This one, though. Best performance. Oh, man. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, my boy won when he did Death Stranding, because Mads is my dude, bro. Mads Mikkelsen. Oh, he's great. But anyway, we have Horizon Forbidden West, Ashley Birch. We have A Plague Tale Requiem, Charlotte McBurney. God of War Ragnarok, Christopher Judge. Immortality, Manon Gage. And God of War Ragnarok, Sonny Suljic, which I believe is the legendary boy, if memory serves. So who you got?
So, yeah, I mean, this is a bias towards Horizon again here, but I think Ashley Birch should win. Her performance in Forbidden West was absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see more games and more work from her. I think Christopher Judge is likely to win just because Kratos is so iconic and he executes flawlessly every time. So I think that those are the two. Now, like I said, I did just start playing Plague Tale. I'm not very far into it. Mm-hmm. But Charlotte McBurney definitely does a great job with her character, at least from the little bit I've seen so far. Okay. But I want to see Ashley Birch walk away with this award.
Okay, so for me, I would like to see Ashley Birch walk away with it too. But I'm like you, I believe Christopher Judge will win.
Yeah.
I just believe he will win. That dude is the truth as Kratos, man. It just is what, and I'm not discounting Ashley, because I really am a big fan of Aloy and her portrayal. Hugely so. But I just think that the voters will take Christopher Judge. But
absolutely.
We both agree on that.
He knocks it out of the park every single time.
Every time, bro. Okay, best audio design. So we have Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, GT7, and Horizon Forbidden West.
So I think it's Horizon, and this time I don't think it's bias. And let me explain why. Because the first Horizon executed so well what the DualShock 4 was truly capable of. And this iteration did it again, and even better. It tuned things that were annoying. It updated the sounds. It's absolutely phenomenal what Sony has been able to accomplish in terms of interacting with your controller audio wise. And I just think that it executed so flawlessly. It goes beyond just the sound within the game and is this,
and it enhances it.
It transcends the actual sound design in the game into something completely new. And I just don't think that's something that was done to the same level on any of these other games.
Yeah, I'm actually with you. In terms of deserving it and what I think of when, I actually am going to also go with Horizon Forbidden West. When I look at game audio, and not just for the controller, it's the ambient sounds of the world. Can I tell where something's coming from? There's a lot that goes into audio design, and that's where I would go. One of the games that, and it's been a while since I played it, but one of the games that shocked me with this audio design was kind of Elden Ring, because I didn't really, when I remember playing it, I didn't really feel like I had the, and maybe it's because I play FPSs and stuff, where I'm normally used to being able to tell where things are coming from and things like that.
Right.
I just don't remember that being as sound, pun intended, in Elden Ring.
I was also very shocked to see that there.
Yeah. I was like, now, you know, it's one thing to say musical score, but it's another thing to say audio design. So I'm with you. I actually think Horizon deserves to win that category as well. Best score in music, though. Here we go. So we have A Plague Tale Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. What do you have here?
So, Metal Hellsinger, without a doubt. I have not even played the game. I was at a friend's house playing Magic, and he put on the soundtrack, and I was blown away. Like,
you know, I'm not even into metal, bro. You know that. Yeah, I'm not even into metal, bro. And I was like, this soundtrack is amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal. Up there with the Doom 2016 and Doom Annihilation soundtracks. It's so well done. And if it doesn't win here, then I don't even know, you know, who's making these decisions and why.
And the talent on, I had to go look at the talent on the album because I was like, every level, you know, I've rolled credits on it. So like every level, I'm like, yo, this is actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. You know, so yeah, I don't even know if we need to talk about everything else. Every other game has some songs I like, music I like. But to me, I'm the same way. And it's crazy to think that. But Metal Hellsinger, unquestionably for me, should win that category from what I played. Maybe I'll go listen to some music and change my mind, but I highly doubt it. It was that good.
It's insane. Like I said, I haven't even played it, and it's the winner without a doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so next we have Best Art Direction, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. What you
got? So this is really hard. Like, we keep seeing the same games in every category, and so mm-hmm. it really gets down to nitpicking details. Mm-hmm. I love the art direction in Horizon. I think the world and the way they designed it is truly beautiful, like no other game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elden Ring's gonna win here, and that's just because it's gorgeous. Like, it's absolutely gorgeous. The design is, at least from what I've seen, I've never really played a lot of the Dark Souls games. I played a little bit of Bloodborne, but it's such a departure in terms of, I guess, not being bleak. Like, it's bleak, but in its own really weird, trippy
way. Well, you have different areas, too, in Elden Ring. It's not just one area on the map. So, I didn't think it was literally beautiful, though. It's funny you say that, but you're going Elden Ring. Okay, so for me, now, we know how I feel about Horizon.
Right.
We know how I feel about Horizon, right? So, like, but actually, I think the unquestioned winner is Scorn.
Interesting. Okay.
I truly do. Like, if you go look, now I'm not saying the gameplay is going to knock you out, right? I don't know how you, it depends on what you like, right? But just if you just look at the settings and the art and everything, it's not even close to me for what they're trying to present versus every other game in this category, bro.
Oh, so I just looked it up and I'm going to change my answer as well. I didn't realize how, I had heard of the game but not really looked into it. And I didn't realize just how inspired by, what's his name? H.R. Giger, it is. And as a fan of that art style and the Alien franchise, like, this game is absolutely, this is like beautiful.
I can't talk about the gameplay. I cannot tell you, you're going to love the gameplay. I can't talk about it. But I've seen, like, footage of the setting, to me, it's not even a debate. It's that easily won by Scorn in my mind. For our direction.
You convinced me. This, yeah, that's the winner.
like I said, when I looked at it, I was like, this is, I mean, it's grotesque and horrible, but this is so good for what they're trying to do. Like, wow. And this is before I even knew it was in that category, but just like, you know, I'm on Twitter always kind of observing the zeitgeist. And every time I saw somebody share it, I was like, damn, that's good. Mm-hmm. Wow, like, it's not, like, I hate it, but damn, that's good.
Right, I wouldn't want to be there, but I like looking at it.
Yeah, but I'm like, hey, somebody designed it. Holy cow. All right, now here's one that we talked about last week that I was shocked at some of these nominees. But Best Narrative, which is A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, which that's the one that shocked me, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. So in this one, I'm gonna jump out here. This one, as much as I would love to give awards to Horizon, I can't do it in this instance because Horizon Forbidden West is not as good as Zero Dawn in terms of the narrative to me. I really wanted the narrative to be as strong, but Aloy's journey to me is light years ahead of the second one. And I don't mean that as a disgrace to the second one. It's just a statement to how good the first one is.
Right.
Elden Ring to me like has no narrative. It has a narrative, but you really have to dig for those diamonds in the rough there, because like I was playing it and I have hours in it, and no disrespect to anybody else, we all have our own experiences and our own level of experience with FromSoft titles, but for me, I was like, I'm not really getting a narrative here. I'm just not I died, came back, I'm supposed to do something, I guess, like that's all I was really getting.
Right.
And go fight, and then remember, fighting will be hard. That was You know? So I think either, in my guess, I don't know much about Immortality. I really need to look this game up. But my thought is it's going to be in between God of War Ragnarok and A Plague Tale. And in this category, I'm curious because I need to learn more about A Plague Tale. But I'm actually wondering if A Plague Tale is going to win. And again, that's me knowing nothing about Immortality. But I really do think it'll be between them and God of War. But I'm actually, for some reason, I'm just going to jump and say A Plague Tale.
Okay. I think that's fair. In terms of your comments on Elden Ring, I think it's really important to establish the difference between narrative and story. Like, your game can have a story, there can be lore, there can be tons of world building, but the narrative is what's driving the gameplay. The narrative is what's telling you, you need to go here. And I feel like Elden Ring, being the open world game that it is not narrative driven, it's exploration driven.
Right.
And so to say that it has a narrative that is worthy of winning, I feel like is a little disingenuous. The story could be great. The story is great from what I've been told. I've barely scratched the surface of Elden Ring. I'm not a From Software gamer. I have mad respect for the people who enjoy those games, but it is not the type of gameplay that I enjoy. But when you have to sit and read through lore and books to figure out what's going on in the game, that's not narrative, that's story. And the story may be great, but it's not driving your gameplay. So it shouldn't be nominated here. I agree.
And if I got to take my own notes too, anyway,
right. No worries. I agree with you on Horizon. The narratives just didn't come close to Zero Dawn. Although I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good quality wise. I just barely started A Plague Tale, so I can't speak to it. I do think it's likely to win, given from the short amount that I've played, the gameplay and lack of exploration certainly so far isn't driving it. So the narrative has to be what's carrying this game to be a nominee. And then God of War, I think it's definitely deserving, but I'm going to go with you. I think A Plague Tale is going to win here.
Yeah. I just got a feeling because I think God of War is going to be neck and neck in some of the other categories. I don't know. I just got a feeling the Plague Tale is going to take that.
I think we're going to have a really bunch of angry Elden Ring fans.
Bro, well, it's going to be war. That's why Game of the Year this year is like so enticing, which is the one we're going to cover next, the last one. But I'm with you. Like, I think the internet's going to be, this is the one year where I think the internet's going to be ablaze. And it'll be a lot of positive discourse, though, as opposed to last year, which, as you know, I had many feelings about. Yeah, that's just where we'll leave it. So best game direction, we have Elden Ring again, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray. Now, I'm gonna jump out here in this one too. There's a lot of great games in terms of game direction listed here. I have to say that Stray is its own unique beast or own unique feline. I think it's incredible for what they executed. I'm so sorry, Immortality, I don't know anything about you. Horizon Forbidden West is also very well done. It's very well done. I mean, gameplay, everything, very well done. God of War Ragnarok, I think we can agree on that. But in this one, believe it or not, I think it's Elden Ring. But here is specifically why. Because Elden Ring successfully executed, allowing you to play any way you want to.
Yeah.
Take any path you want to. Just do whatever you want, how you want, in the layout you want. There is a kind of quote-unquote ideal path, yes. But you don't have to do that. You can literally just do like, yeah, I'm gonna go over here and do this over here because I want to try it. I want to go over here. I want to do this. And it doesn't stop you from executing. You might die a lot. You know, you might get mopped up, but you can still try to do it. So that's why I think Elden Ring, in terms of game direction, actually does deserve to win here.
I 100% agree with you. And I also think that direction, and as you said, the ability to play any way you want, is why it fails on best narrative.
Right, exactly. 100%, bro. Because like I said, the direction that they set forth, I think they executed on so well. And it's so uncanny to see a game that's successful. I've seen many try and fail to be a game you can play in like any order. Like, normally things like break down, which is, to your point, right? Which, again, is why narrative, it doesn't do well. Because narrative games, you kind of have to go a route. You know right. what I mean? You kind of have to go a path. Elden Ring's like, nah, bro, you play how you want.
Absolutely.
So we got some lore, we got some story, but ain't no real narrative, right? You're not following this track. So yeah, I'm just, that's me hands down, that I think it is literally Elden Ring without question. And you know, and again, apologies to Immortality. I will look this game up sometime today because I just feel like I'm doing it a disservice. And apologies to Immortality fans. I just haven't had a chance to check that one out. And here comes the beast, the game.
Oh boy.
Of the year. I'm looking forward to this one. So game of the year, we have A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War: Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. What you got, sir? Lay it on us.
So, I'm just going to preface this with, I think Game of the Year is a somewhat subjective category. There are certain mm-hmm. things that every game can excel in and be the best in that category. But to say something is the Game of the Year is to ascribe it to be the game that is worth your time. The game, one game out there that is worth your time playing this year.
That's how you look at it. So the Game of the Year, this is the unquestioned game that you should make time for this year.
Yeah, or rather the game that had the biggest impact on your year. And for me...
Okay, I'll look for me, those, so we got two descriptions. Yep.
Yeah, my personal choice is Horizon Forbidden West. Now, do I think it is the best game that came out this year? Absolutely not. But it had the biggest impact on me. It came out at a point in time where I desperately needed a game like this to play. And it helped me through a rough time. And so for that, it is my game of the year. It is had the biggest impact on me, and it's my favorite game I've played this year that wasn't Destiny. But as far as what I think is going to win here, unquestionably, without a doubt, Elden Ring is going to win. It has been the one of the most anticipated games of the last few years since its announcement in 2019.
George R. Martin being a part of it and everything, yeah.
Absolutely. It's got a wider reach than any From Software game has had before because of that, because you have people who've... The author of Game of Thrones
right.
helped work on this. So, yeah, I don't think there's any question that Elden Ring is going to win. Now, we may have another year where God of War surprises us, and I definitely do think that game is deserving of high accolades and praise, but I don't think it's going to be any game besides Elden Ring that takes Game of the Year.
Okay, so, I'll piggyback on what you said. For me personally, it would be Horizon Forbidden West. And that's saying that respectfully to the fact that I haven't played God of War Ragnarok and A Plague Tale: Requiem. So I haven't played Xenoblade Chronicles 3. And for the record, all these games I own. So I totally get it. Since I have a job and things. But so I totally get it. Somebody's like, what? You know, I get the reaction. But for me, of what I, you know, I played Horizon Forbidden West. To your point, right, it was a game that was on time. I spent 100 plus hours in that universe with the latest release. I love that game. I love the lore. I love the world. I love like everything about Horizon. Even with the quote unquote lesser narrative from the first game, I still don't think it's a bad narrative in any capacity.
No.
So it would, if it was my vote, it would be Horizon Forbidden West. Now, I think the game that will win is Elden Ring. But here's what I want to say. If God of War Ragnarok can upset Elden Ring like it upset Red Dead Redemption 2, I might celebrate with just popcorn emojis on Twitter because like that would be so uncanny because I'm like you. I think Elden Ring is just going to steamroll it. Like, yo, get out of here, bro. It's Elden Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I could just imagine the reaction.
Oh,
if God of War Ragnarok does it again,
the internet would be on fire. Time.
Right. Right. My timeline would just be like, oh, my God. And part of me wants to see that. Not because I don't like FromSoft or whatever, nothing like that. I just want to see what if that was to happen, how the internet would react. Because for the whole year, until God of War Ragnarok, there was never a questionable game of the year was. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we love Horizon, but we were never like, man, Horizon guaranteed to win game of the year. It was never happening, bro. It was right. Like, yo, Elden Ring gonna win. Like,
I saw those release dates and I was like, man, maybe the next one, Gorilla. Like,
no, you keep doing great things, and it's the wrong year.
Yep.
Why couldn't you release the year Sekiro drop? Anyway, but yeah, like it's one of those things that I truly believe Elden Ring is that game for the voting group for this game awards. I'm sure that some of these other games will take it in other game awards presentations, right?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, but I definitely think God of War, if God of War Ragnarok can somehow pull this off, that I will have my feet on a desk somewhere watching the internet go crazy. Like, it will be something. But I'm with you. Elden Ring takes it. It cleans house in many things. It loses some things it should lose, though. Like, I don't think best narrative is the one it wins. I don't, you know, best audio design or whatever, I don't think it wins. You know, like, there are things I think it loses, clearly. But game of the year, I'm going to say Elden Ring. I did recently hear somebody say that they had Elden Ring all the way until they finished God of War Ragnarok.
Interesting. And okay.
For me, it's God of War Ragnarok. I'm sorry. And that, I don't know if that's recency bias. I'm not going to cast aspersions on that person. Or if that, you know, they could have just been like, yo, I remember both. This is the one I prefer. So, yeah, it's just interesting, man. But, yeah, I'm going Elden Ring too. But please, please, just for the internet vitriol and fire, let God of War Ragnarok win. Because I just want to see what happens.
But it anyway, would be nice to see a little bit of chaos from that.
It's a little chaos. You know what I mean? It's like college football. You just want to see the drama. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, but yeah, I'm going to Elden Ring too. Like I said, going to Elden Ring too. Well, that's going to conclude our show today. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. You can email me at gamingtimespatrick@gmail.com. You can email the show at gamingtimes09@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at timespat. The other Isaac, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us. Where can the people find you?
You can find me at rocket_man on Twitter. Rocket is spelt with an I. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me. Every time I get to come on the show, it is an absolute blast. And yeah, just really appreciate the invite.
Hey, no problem. And I know this show ran long. We'd like to thank everybody for hanging with us through our predictions, even though some of them may be quite uneducated. We just give our best hypothesis where we can. And I'd like to thank you all for listening today. To Gaming Times. And please remember, enjoy gaming.